بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أيها السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So, mashallah, we're going to go over the brief discussion about i'tikaf as a first and foremost with niyat that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever learns a chapter of deen, he gets more than 1,000 rakats of prayer. Mashallah, we will refresh our memories. Obviously, alhamdulillah, we have our experienced brothers and maybe some new brothers and sisters that might want to do i'tikaf this year. So, inshallah, we'll go over the rules for each, inshallah. So, our program is very short. It's first we're going to talk about the virtues. What is the meaning of i'tikaf? Who may perform i'tikaf? I'tikaf of women, a place, the hudud, the limits, and then the reasons to leave the hudud. And then finally, what action should a person do while they're in i'tikaf? So just going around, just speaking about who may do it, where we have to do it, and the actions we have to do while we're inside. So the importance of learning these rules is that, say, our Sheikh Mufti, he said, i'tikaf is one of the beautiful forms of worship prescribed by the Sharia and practiced by Muslims all over the world, especially in the holy month of Ramadan. The Sharia has laid down specific rules and procedure for i'tikaf, which are discussed in detail in books of fiqh. But the thing is that unfortunately, experience shows that few people are aware of these rules. And each year, hundreds of Muslims have the opportunity and honor of performing i'tikaf. But due to this unawareness, the practice does not always conform to the prescribed procedure, right? So what we want to explain to everyone, inshallah, is the importance and the value of this action. Very, very mubarak. The Sayyidina Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was something that we have to think about for the Prophet alayhi wasalam. And I always mention this point is that people often say, I'm very busy. And this point, it doesn't sit well with me. I mean, we can make other excuses, but busyness is not an excuse. Why is it not an excuse? Because the Prophet alayhi wasalam was exceptionally busy. You cannot imagine how much work Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had. Every single day, every single night was with people engaging, talking. He was a governor of Medina, right? He was Amir of the Muslims. He had to meet everyone. There were so many gatherings had to happen only because of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's so much he's doing, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But he never abandoned the practice of i'tikaf. Never did he say that, oh, I'm too busy now this year. And the last i'tikaf that he had, he performed 20 days because one year he actually left because he was more upset that his wife started doing i'tikaf inside the masjid, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, actually, the next year he made up those 10 days. So he did 20 days in his last i'tikaf of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you cannot, and so my thing is that we cannot say we're busy. You can't be more busy than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There might be other reasons, myself included. I have my own, I feel kind of bad. You know, these two are my dalil. But I feel bad, you know, and I always make intention, Ya Allah, give me this easier year. I want to do i'tikaf. I love it so much. You know, we should all be happy. If Allah chose us for it, it's such a blessing from Allah. No one is more concerned than the Prophet about the welfare of the Ummah. Some brothers say that because we have to go on Jamaat, we can't do i'tikaf. I said, Ya Allah, your Jamaat is so that you could do i'tikaf. You know, the niyat of the Jamaat was that I can finally sit in the masjid and stay in the masjid for this much time. So inshallah, let's try our best. If this year we have the plan, alhamdulillah. If not, then next year for sure. Let's make that intention that I will sit in i'tikaf for those 10 days. It's an extraordinary experience. In terms of seasons, there's a Hajj season, so there's a reward for the Hajj. There's a fasting season, it's called Ramadan. There's a Qurbani season, right? When we do the dhabah, we slaughter our animals. And there is a season of i'tikaf. If you're talking about what is this month for, what is the purpose? That we get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When can a person get connected most to Allah ta'ala? Is when they are in the environment of i'tikaf. Because now you're just here only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're talking about the purpose, the maqsad of Ramadan, it is really for a person to get connected to Allah. And in the time of i'tikaf, a person finds a deep connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So the virtues are so many. What can we say? The Prophet had said that the person who performs i'tikaf for one day, seeking the pleasure of Allah, Allah will place between him and the fire of Jahannam three trenches. The distance of each trench, each area, is the distance of the heavens and the earth, subhanAllah, just for performing one day of i'tikaf. The Prophet ﷺ said, for the person who performs i'tikaf for 10 days in Ramadan, such act will be like two Hajj and two Umrah. This is just mind-blowing. I mean, it is a big sacrifice, you know, and I think, subhanAllah, the reason why the Sharia gives such a reward for it is because it is respecting the sacrifice a person has to do. So two Hajj and two Umrah, Allahu Akbar, how many Hajjis can we do in our life? You know, how difficult is Hajj? And you're telling me for 10 days, I can just sit in the masjid and get this? Allah knows, mashallah. And then two Umrah on top of it. May Allah give us that, inshallah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, the person performs i'tikaf, is protected from sins, and all his good deeds are written for him as if he does them. What this means is, all his good deeds from the outside, the scholars have interpreted in two ways. One way is that a person, because he's inside the masjid, all his good deeds that he used to do, he can't do them anymore. So the Sharia says, Nabi ﷺ said, even though he's not doing them on the outside, he'll still get the reward as if he's doing them. The second interpretation, which is the ajib interpretation, is that all the ibadat outside, the person will get the reward of. Because he could have had that opportunity to do them, so Sharia will reward him and or her for that. The reward of the outside will be given to him or her while they're inside performing the i'tikaf. So there's so much, and obviously the most important out of all these things is that we get forgiven by Allah Ta'ala. When a person receives maghfirah from Allah, they've received the maqsad, the goal. Ata al-Khurasani rahimahullah said, the person who is in i'tikaf is like a man who comes into the courtyard of Allah and he lies down and he says, Ya Allah, I'm not leaving from here until you forgive me. And imagine that at the end of i'tikaf, at the end of Ramadan, and the time of Eid, mashallah, the person is completely forgiven. May Allah grant that to all of us, inshallah. And I hope that it at least makes us feel inside that maybe I can do it, you know. If it's just 10 days, I can do it, inshallah. And so the goal is, the biggest goal about i'tikaf, it is that you can get Laylatul Qadr. You know, there's no more chance now. Because when a person's outside, there's a chance. Maybe I wake up, maybe I don't wake up, maybe I do some ibadah, maybe I don't do ibadah. Because the person is inside the masjid in the i'tikaf, they are already in the ibadah. Whether they want it or not, mashallah, they will get Laylatul Qadr. So this is the goal, and that's what people will find when they are in i'tikaf. May Allah give us that tawfiq and understanding that we become excited about it and ready to practice this act of worship. In terms of the rules, it's very simple, okay? Is that you have to remain in the masjid for the sake of Allah with the intention of i'tikaf, okay? You just have to remain in the masjid for the sake of Allah with the intention of i'tikaf, okay? This is the meaning of i'tikaf. Akatha ya'kifu means to be obsessed. A person is absorbed in the remembrance of Allah. So much so, he says, Ya Allah, I'm abandoning my whole life. I'm leaving my whole life just to be in the masjid, just to worship you. That's what it means to be a person in i'tikaf. And so the masnoon i'tikaf is the one we're talking about today, is the sunnah i'tikaf, which is performed the last 10 days of Ramadan. It's a sunnah kifaya, meaning that certain brothers or certain sisters in the community must do it, or else the entire community will be sinful. So when they take this responsibility on their shoulders, we should be more grateful to them. Because subhanAllah, if they didn't do it, I would have been gunagar. I would have been sinful. So we should be grateful to them and make dua for them that Allah to accept their i'tikaf. Okay? And I want to stress that point. And we must remain. So how does it work? You shall from the 21st night till the sighting of the moon of Shawwal. From the 21st night to the sighting of the moon of Shawwal. That's why it's necessary to be in there before the 21st night. Because if Maghrib time came in and you're not in the hudud, you're not in the masjid limits or the boundaries in your house, what's going to happen is your i'tikaf is invalid from the beginning. That's why people who want to come in to i'tikaf have to start from the 20th, right before Maghrib time. Okay, so in other words, today, right before Maghrib, they have to be inside the masjid, the hudud area. Okay, and so sometimes brothers, before the Maghrib time comes in, they take a walk around the masjid, just like, Ya Allah, I'm leaving this world. You know, like it feels, it's a very ajeeb experience. The day you enter the i'tikaf is ajeeb. Day you leave is ajeeb, right? You just feel like it's a whole new life, mashallah. Okay, so who can perform it? Any Muslim male or female. The female, of course, if she's married, she has to do with the permission of her husband, and they're allowed to perform i'tikaf. A woman can perform i'tikaf at home. So if whatever room you'd like to allocate, inshallah, you can do so. I want to remind everyone and highlight this fact that the Prophet's wives, they all used to perform i'tikaf. Aisha radiallahu anha would do i'tikaf between the mountains of Uhud and Thubayr. The Prophet will make i'tikaf for the last 10 nights of Ramadan until Allah Ta'ala took him. Then his wives did afterwards. So in terms of establishing the sunnah of i'tikaf, the wives of the Prophet are the ones actually maintaining this. You're looking at the men. There are very few men that could have done i'tikaf after the Nabi alayhi salam. But his wives used to be very regular on this reality, on this ibadah, on this worship. Okay? So that's, you know, just so our sisters could understand, you know, it, in terms of, we'll get to it where they can perform. But just talk about overall in general, where is the best place to perform i'tikaf? Masjid al-Haram. A person can make it there, mashallah. The Masjid Nabawi is second. If a person can't do it in Masjid al-Haram in Makkah, the second best place is Masjid Nabawi in Medina, okay? Either Makkah or Medina. Therefore, thereafter is Masjid al-Aqsa, where the area of Palestine, right? The area located down in Jerusalem, right? Masjid al-Aqsa is the third best place a person can perform i'tikaf. And after that is any Jami Masjid. A Jami Masjid is the Masjid where everyone comes together. The community comes together to that central Masjid. So any central Masjid is probably the best after these three places. And if you can't find those four, then any Masjid where five times prayers are said, then mashallah, you can do i'tikaf there. Okay, so these are the five when a person is looking for where should I perform i'tikaf. Obviously, if you can make it to Masjid Haram, mashallah ta'ala, 100,000 times reward. May Allah ta'ala grant us that, inshallah. You know, I mean, in terms of what a person needs to do, the key word here is hudud. Hudud are the limits. It's either defined by the masjid or it's the room of a person's house. Okay, the limits of that place are is the place where a person needs to be. That's where a person needs to stay in. They cannot leave that place. And so we stress this for anyone who's listening maybe from a different Islamic center, is that not every place in an Islamic center is the actual masjid space. The masjid board or committee will tell you which this is actually considered the waqf masjid lillah. This is the masjid that is waqf to Allah. This area is considered the masjid space. Anything beyond that is not actually masjid space. So of course, in our Burlington Islamic Center, our brothers are very well aware of this. But obviously, once they leave that section in the front, the back hall is not considered masjid, so they can't actually enter here. So they have to stay within the space which is considered masjid, okay? Whichever room is allocated for our sisters, she should not leave that room. So if she says, you know what, I want my bedroom to be that spot, okay? Now obviously there's only a discussion if the bedroom is extremely big, like it's massive, like you're living in mashallah mansion house, mashallah, make dua for me, okay? If you have a huge room, like then a person should give like a corner or a certain spot within that room. But if it's a small room, then the whole room can be considered. Something within reason, okay? Nothing like, okay, I put this room, and it's like, it has like everything in it. It has a kitchen in it, and everything in it. You know, that's, you're kind of missing the point here, okay? So the hudud, and I'll explain a little bit more later on. Whichever room is set for the i'tikaf must be remained in for the duration of the 10 days. And the sunnah, if the sunnah i'tikaf is not intended, maybe you're someone who's saying, the whole 10 days is kind of difficult for me. What you can do is, you can say, you know what, I'll do a nafl i'tikaf. That's fine. So, you know what, for this day, I'm going to sit in my room and I'm going to do the zikr of Allah, worship Allah Ta'ala. And I'll stay in for this much time, you know? So then you can do nafl. Nafl is completely fine if a person doesn't want to do the sunnah. Of course, in our masjid, because of obviously, you know, the virus and everything, we're really limiting it only to sunnah i'tikaf here. So for the protection of the brothers who are performing i'tikaf, you know? So just keep that in mind for our place here. Having said that, if anyone else, you know, particularly for sisters, if you want to, again, you know, you yourself know yourself better that, you know, I can do it. I can do maybe 1 day, 2 days. I can do the whole 10 days. MashaAllah, the reward of two hajj and two umrah is yours. Okay. For sisters though, they have to make sure they're able to fast. If they find that their cycle is in that time, then they won't be able to perform the sunnah i'tikaf anyways. So she has to be able to fast. If she knows that her days are in that time, then make the intention of nafl instead. Okay. Until her days appear. And if it happens unexpectedly, like suddenly she didn't realize and it happened while she was there, then what happens is she has to make up that one day outside of Ramadan, okay? And same thing for sisters who say that maybe, you know, I wanted to do the sunnah i'tikaf, but this just happened, you know, but I really wanted to do it. I encourage your sister, for the sake of Allah, you can, after Ramadan, just say, you know what, for this day, I'm going to stay in my room. I make that niyat. Allah is very ghafoor rahim, is very kind. If you wanted to do it, say, okay, for these days, I did the nafl within Ramadan, and these extra days I'll do afterwards, you know, just to feel in the habit or in the zone of performing i'tikaf. And she can prepare food for herself. She can knit, she can sew, but it's always better to remain in ibadah, right? If it happens where there's no one else to prepare food at home, then she can go out and perform, she can make the food in the kitchen and then come back, right? But if she has some, you know, some daughters or some sons even, that can prepare the food for her, then she should stay within the room, okay? So that's something that we have to keep in mind. If one mother is trying to perform i'tikaf, someone else needs to be there to cater for her, tend to her for the 10 days. She's not allowed to just leave, okay? If she's staying in i'tikaf, then she has to remain in i'tikaf. Someone else in the household has to prepare the food for her. Okay. Now, which room should you set? Right. We spoke a little bit already before it about which room can a sister choose. The ulama have written that it's better to choose a smaller room. And the best place is just one prayer mat. Enough area to sit, eat, and sleep. It's literally there's a very small area. As small as you can make it. I can imagine the way that you want it. You know, in my mind is the Nabi alayhi salam's house. The Prophet's house was so tiny. There was very enough space for him and Aisha radiallahu anha. You know, they said when Nabi salam used to stand up for tahajjud, Aisha radiallahu anha had to tuck in her feet in order to make sujood. Unbelievably small place, right? If you're choosing that type of area, now you're very, very isolated. The entire dunya now. There's no one else in the world except for you, right? It's only you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can connect to Allah ta'ala in that beautiful area and location. So keep that in mind. A very large room in its entirety cannot be an area of i'tikaf for a woman, but a portion of it can. So again, you say one corner of the room or one half of the room or something small if it's a very large room. You want to take a small amount, okay? Now in terms of, all right, so if the rule is just to stay in there, what are the reasons that I can leave the spot? Right? There might be certain reasons you can leave. And that's the main issue here, right? When can I go? Okay? So keep this in mind. A person has to remain throughout the entire time within the hudud, within the limits, okay? If he or she leaves the hudud of the masjid or the area for one moment without a valid shir'i, a valid legal reason, the i'tikaf is considered invalid. So we have to be very careful. This is the only thing a person has to be careful of inside of i'tikaf, really, to make sure the i'tikaf is acceptable. In terms of the big issue, I'm going to mention other things so we can learn about it. But in terms of the big issue, and Mawla Osman has a very nice detailed lectures, which I love to sit in because he goes through everything. You know, I feel like there's like burglars and like robberies and all these things. The masjid burns down, all these ajeeb things. There's a lot of rules here. In terms of the main rule for everybody, using the bathroom, taking ghusl and making wudu, right? If you have to leave the masjid to use the bathroom or to do a fard ghusl, okay? But these two are the big ones. The use the bathroom or fard ghusl, okay? This is the main reason why you can leave the masjid. Actually, for the second one, you have to leave the masjid, okay? So in terms of using the bathroom and everything, if at that time you feel like you want to wash up, you know, you feel like you're a little dirty, whatever, at the time when you're making wudu, then you can, you know, use the hose or use the shower head and just wash up very quickly within the time of making wudu. That's what a person can do when they go out to use the bathroom, okay? Other than that, they're not allowed to even take a sunnah ghusl. Okay, there's no sunnah ghusl for people at i'tikaf. If you want to rinse up very quickly, when do you do it? When you go to use the bathroom, you make the wudu, and at that time you just quickly rinse up so that way you feel refreshed, okay? Or a mandatory fard ghusl, of course, okay? So just to make sure that's clear for everybody, if a person is coming out, you know, after they have to go and use the bathroom, okay? They find the toilet is occupied, and it is permissible for them to wait outside for it. Obviously, it's always better just to go back inside, you know, you feel a little safer, you know? Because people try to talk to you and give salam to you. It's a little bit of a hassle because you can't even talk to anyone outside, right? You must return immediately afterwards. So the way it is what? Use the bathroom, make wudu, head straight back in, okay? What a person can do is, if a person is walking and while you're going there, you can give a quick salam if a person is there, crossing by very quickly permissible. But people generally know that this person is in i'tikaf, so they should not talk to them. Better to not talk because you don't want to risk to make their i'tikaf break. You can walk, you don't have to run. You don't have to be like, okay, I gotta go like, you know, three seconds in and out, you know. No, you can walk, slow down, you don't have to rush, go there and come back. But the main point is you're not supposed to talk outside the hudud, okay? Anytime you're outside the limits, just come right back in right after you're done with whatever business you have to do, okay? So in terms of necessities, so the big one again is just using the bathroom, making ghusl, right? At that, and while you're going to use the bathroom, that's when you can make wudu. And you can rinse off during wudu time. That's completely fine. The other ones are, for example, if a person needed to bring food and drink when no one is available, obviously, if there is food and drink already offered inside the area, then obviously, if there's already food and drink being offered, then you can't leave the place to bring food and drink. If you are a muazzin who has to go outside for adhan. Obviously, because in Islamic areas and environments, the muadzin had to go up and climb up the minaret or use a loudspeaker. And pre-modern masajid used to have them outside. So the person used to go outside and do it. Okay. For Jumu'ah as well, if the masjid did not have Jumu'ah, then a person is allowed to leave the i'tikaf area to go to make Jumu'ah in another masjid. But I don't think you have the problem here. Okay. So those are the big ones. And the last one, which is always the ajeeb one, is like if the masjid is, it has some leakage or destruction. This is where like the burglaries and the armed robberies come in, and then what are you supposed to do? You know, so if that ever happens, just give me a call. I'll help you out as soon as I can, inshallah. But again, the main ones for us in terms of our practical is the call of the nature, call of nature, ghusl, and making wudu. That's when a person can leave again. And the wudu again is attached to the fact that a person is using the bathroom. Okay. The actions in the i'tikaf, what should a person be doing in the i'tikaf? Okay. The most important thing is that you have a schedule, you have a routine. Tahiyatul wudu. Every time we make wudu, we come back inside, make tahiyatul wudu. The Prophet ﷺ told Bilal radiallahu anhu, said, Bilal, why is it that I hear your footsteps in Jannah? Bilal said, maybe Ya Rasulullah, is because of the fact that after every wudu, I make 2 rakats of prayer. The Prophet said, this is the reason. You know, tahajjud, obviously, we should be trying to do this every single night, because Laylatul Qadr, maybe it's on the odd nights, but it could possibly be on the even nights. If a person made intention for every night, they will get more than just one Laylatul Qadr by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is so kind. Allah will give you 10 times the nights. He'll give you 10 nights, inshallah ta'ala. Ishraq, meaning duha prayer every morning. We'll take the questions right after. Is that okay, Adnan? Okay, sure. Just we'll finish this and then I'll take your question. Duha prayer is in the mornings. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a person performs duha, he gets the reward of a complete hajj and umrah for 2 rakats, mashallah. And the duha prayer basically is that after fajr time, ideally it's supposed to be when a person is awake doing dhikr till the time, and then they perform the 2 rakats. I can imagine because the i'tikaf is so burdensome and heavy, sometimes right after fajr we just knock out. Just pray with the intention, Ya Allah, I'm trying my best. Ya Rabbal Alameen. But having said that, duha is primarily to get the 2 rakats reward of hajj and umrah, that a person stays up from the fajr time, past sunrise time, all in dhikr of Allah, then they get up and make the 2 rakats. Okay. The awabin prayer, the Prophet ﷺ said after Maghrib Salah, when a person performs 6 rakats, meaning 2, 2, 2, the Prophet ﷺ said this is a reward of 12 years of ibadah. MashaAllah. And tasbih, salatu tasbih, it's the prayer that the Prophet ﷺ advises Uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu to perform. It is a prayer which is very long and lengthy. When a person wants to perform a long prayer, so we recommend. And obviously, we can talk about how to perform salatu tasbih at a later time. Tilawa, we should have a goal. Maybe I'm going to do this many juz, this many, maybe I make one khatam, mashallah. You know, a person can do it in that time. Zikr and tasbih, they should be, you know, at least have a tasbih at hand somewhere, just sitting down, just subhanallah, 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 Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Even if you're not counting yourself, Allah's counting, so it's, the angels are counting, so you're completely fine. That way, don't waste any time. Learning and teaching deen is very rewarding in i'tikaf. Mashallah, you have the halaqa in our masjid as well, where Mawla Osman comes and teaches the mu'atakifin about various things about Islam. And this is very rewarding. Imagine that. Lectures, of course, studying Islamic books is there. And the most important thing is that you avoid unnecessary talk. Don't do unnecessary things. In terms of permissible things, of course, you can eat and drink. You can sleep. Don't eat during the prayer. Don't eat during the day, though, please. You know, that's a big problem. Sleeping, of course, is fine. It is very tiresome. It is very stressful on the body. But do get enough rest when you need. Okay. Talking and conversation, but to a minimum. As much as required, changing clothes, applying scents and oils, etc. One thing I would suggest for brothers, though, is that we don't want to, and sisters, well, main thing for the masjid is, you know, hair is falling off from when we put on oil and stuff, because if the hair falls down, you don't want to dirty the masjid. So make sure there's like a cloth in front, and that way when you know, put on any oils, etc., so that way the hairs fall off on the cloth, it doesn't fall into the masjid, okay? To give lessons on Quran, ilm deen, completely fine, okay? Makruh things, just... The two places that we talk are with the people and with our cell phones. These two things should be limited as much as we can. Obviously, people have to check up on family and things like that. That's a reality. But set them as little as you can so that most of the time is focused on worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And if a person were to be a very mean person, and so then they said, this is my spot. In the masjid, they're like, this is Mawla Shakil's spot. No one's touching this spot. You know, if he did it. If other people gave it to him, mashallah, that's their choice. But like, no one's going in my spot. You know, to the point that even when people come to pray, it's causing inconvenience. So the best way is, of course, a masjid will allocate a spot for the people in the i'tikaf, and people just stay behind there. Okay. And obviously, mashallah, the best part of this masjid is this, that there's so many partitions. And so everyone has their own home. I love it so much. I love it. Yeah, Abdan, go ahead. Oh, tashahud? I'll explain it right at the end. We have just one slide left, and inshallah ta'ala, I'll explain. So the etiquettes that a person needs to do, what a person needs to focus on while they're here, is learning to have more etiquettes, more adab. So with the Quran, make sure that we're sitting with the Quran, we sit in a beautiful way, we sit in a proper place, we put the Quran in front of us, we sit with focus and attention, with love for the book, and know that it's Allah's words that I'm reading, Allah speaking to me. So keep that in mind with the Quran. With the masjid, when we're in the masjid, we make sure that that we respect the space. We don't start dirtying it. Don't pretend like it's our house. But be very careful about these things. Again, it's Allah Ta'ala's, it's Allah's house on this world. So we don't want to dirty or sully the masjid. Okay. Other mu'taqifeen, other people in the i'tikaf, remember it is haram to hurt a brother and offend a brother. Okay. And so if we have other people in the i'tikaf, these i'tikafers, we have to respect them and make sure that they're having their own time to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously every sunnah that you can practice on, try your best to emulate and live the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam while you're in i'tikaf. Try to have a miswak, try to smile more, try to be more kind and more conscientious of the people around you, inshallah. Okay. The noise level, please keep it down to a minimum. Okay. Everyone is awake at nighttime. I'tikaf, you barely get any sleep at night. So people have to sleep after Fajr. And this is mainly for youth. Youngsters never fall asleep. So you know, it was a big problem when I was here in i'tikaf too. That we should be conscious of the noise level. If we're with other brothers, let them sleep. Okay. It's better than whatever talk we can have. We should never inconvenience another Muslim. We should try our best to always be as gentle and kind to every Muslim that is out there, inshallah. Okay. And so isolation is key here. What you want to make sure is that when we are here, we're here to avoid everyone. Try only out of need to speak to people. Don't speak any other reasons. On these days, reflect with our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you can create a timetable, so you can set your goals, 8:30 to 9:30, this is what I'm going to be doing, etc., etc. That's the best. I think he talks when I talk. Yeah. And the most important thing, if I were to tell you about one quality to have, is to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important blessing that you can get from i'tikaf is being grateful that Allah has given you so much. Because in i'tikaf, you set let go of everything. There's nothing left for you in the world. No job, no car, no house, nothing. You're literally living in Allah's house right now. And those days, just think about the fact that I can be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala chose me over everyone to be here. Okay? And He wants me to be here. Allah, if I'm in i'tikaf, Allah wanted me to be here. So I should be very fortunate from that. And then think about everything else. This is a time where a person can just say, you know what? I get really angry when I'm at home. I'm not the best husband I could be. I could be a better husband. I could be a better father. I could be a better mother. Like all these things start to come, you know, into reality when I think about them when I'm by myself. When you're isolated with only with Allah, you start to reflect on our own mistakes and our faults. And by reflecting and thinking about the things that we could do better, then mashallah, we become better people. So we should try our best to think about those things that we can improve on, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. And make lots of dua. Ya Rab, I will not leave here until you forgive me. Ya Allah, I ask you for your love for the rest of my life. Ya Allah, make me mahbub. Mahbub being, by mahbub in front of Allah is, whenever you raise your hands in front of Allah, Allah will give it to you instantly. When you become beloved to Allah, Allah tells the angels to love this person. Allah tells the world to love this person. Everyone falls in love with you. This life will become a literal Jannah for you. But we have to obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us such people, inshallah ta'ala. And make us people that when we do our i'tikaf, we do it in the right way, in a way that is accepted by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbana ameen. So we'll take some questions. So in terms of performing tashahud, tashahud is, or was it, Adnan, did you say tashahud or tahajjud? Was it, tahajjud? Tashahud. Tashahud is the prayer that you do at the end of your salah, at the end of the prayer. You read some words. Huh? Okay, so At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibatu. You guys know it? As-salamu alayka. And then ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu. Perfect. Inshallah. Asher and Hasina, make sure you teach everybody. It's important. Inshallah. Any other questions about i'tikaf? Although we have another question here. Can student who has to attend Zoom calls? Yeah. That isn't the shahad. That's right. Can a student who has to attend Zoom calls throughout the day do i'tikaf? Yes, they can. I find it to be, mashallah, what a blessing. Everything. Yeah. I would. It is before Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. Yes. No problem. If it's always better to let go, it's completely fine. It's always better for a person to be completely away from the world. But if you find that you still have to do Zoom calls and stuff, it's permissible for a person to take it. But obviously, the better thing is that you actually let go. But having said that, if a student wants to do it, like, be my guest, mashallah. Why not? It's great. Any other questions? Ishaq prayer. Yeah. The duha prayer and Ishaq prayer are all the same. Yeah. That's good. You done? Okay. Any other questions, inshallah? Good. Take inshallah. If there are no other questions, we'll leave it there. Please, for those brothers and sisters, any i'tikaf, make dua for me. Of course, Allah Ta'ala accept every brother who's taking this responsibility and every sister is taking this responsibility for the community. Allah accept you and protect you and keep you all in afiyah through this life and the hereafter, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.